everyone. Welcome back to today's episode. Another treat for you today. Have you ever wondered how to walk in self-esteem and self-confidence God's way? I mean, there's a lot of talk out there about building your confidence and how your confidence can be built, stolen. It can be sabotaged. But there's a different kind of confidence when it's done God's way. And so my guest today is going to talk a bit about that and how her mission is to glorify Christ by loving and sharing Christ with a hurting world. So my guest today is Dr. Gayla Campbell. She's an author, she's a musician and frequent speaker. She speaks on several topics and her focus is on this whole area of self-esteem and self-confidence God's way. She provides counseling for those who are in emotional pain in her private practice. Her warmth, compassion, and humor are evident to all who read her writings to hear her speak. However, the characteristics that stands out above all is her deep love for her Lord Jesus Christ. So we just want to welcome you to the show today, Dr. Gayla Campbell.
Hello. It's great to be here with you.
So nice to be here with you as well. So for our listeners today, maybe share a little bit about how you got into doing what you're doing today. You're a doctor of counseling, psychology?
Of psychology, yes. I actually started out years ago as a probation officer and realized that I was kind of doing counseling and I didn't know what I was doing. And so I went back to school to learn how to do that. And as life progressed, realized this is what I need to be doing. This is my calling. And took me a while to get there, but I did get there. And now I've been in the counseling field for about 40 years. And I cannot imagine doing anything else. But because of the counseling, it has led to writing, speaking. My husband and I do concerts. Just finished a book that is actually up for an award, which is kind of exciting. Never dreamed I would be there. But right now, my heart is really with talking about self-esteem and being in God's Word.
How did you come to get interested in the subject of self-esteem?
Well, I think mostly because I was realizing more and more that I was relying on what other people thought about me and not listening to what God thought about me. And would say negative things to myself, which I needed to stop and didn't really know how. There's three types of self-esteem. There's the high self-esteem, which is the normal, and that's where we love who we are. We accept who we are, good and bad. Then there's the low self-esteem, and this is what I see a lot of in my counseling, and I was there at one time, and that's the person that doesn't really love themselves. They don't really accept who they are. They don't have any value of what their qualities are. And then there's the inflated self-esteem, and that's the person that loves themselves more than anybody else, and they love everything about them. And so the more I learned how to love me and to have the self-esteem that God had planned for my life, the more I realized how many of us in this world have that low self-esteem and we don't really care about us and feel like we're not worthy, when the truth is we are very worthy, and God tells us that in his word. Actually, Psalm 139, I use that chapter a lot when I'm speaking about self-esteem. King David was writing about, I'm trying to think which verse it is. I believe it's 139:14, where King David says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that I full well, or I know that full well." And it's reminding us that this is the biblical self-esteem. We praise God for how wonderfully he created us, and we worship him for his wonderful works and what he has done, recognizing that creating him, creating us, that was one of those wonderful works that God has done. And we see our worth, our own worth, because we know the glory and the goodness of the one who created us.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, that's really a reframe for a lot of people to see it that way, that, you know, God created us and he considers us good and beautiful and valuable. And so to come into that realization and awareness is powerful. So you talked a bit about you. So you said high esteem, high self-esteem, low self-esteem, and inflated self-esteem. Is that compared to, would you say, more ego driven, or tell me a little bit about that, how that shows up for people?
The inflated self-esteem is where we're really pretty self-centered. Some of the characteristics, I guess, would be we feel like we need to have the best clothes, the best perfume, the material objects. We believe that we can do everything and that there's nobody better than us. There's a belief that we're always right, that we never make mistakes, and that everyone loves us. A lot of times we speak out of turn, and so sure of ourselves that we believe everything about us is wonderful. We don't accept responsibility because there's nothing to accept without we're all that and more.
Right, because there's nothing we've done is wrong. So
which is
that
a very unhealthy place to be.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I think there's a little delay in our...
Because we are all... are not perfect. There are things that we have to work on that are not the best part of us, but those are the things that we work on improving about us. And we should all be striving to improve those weaknesses in us because we've all got them.
Yeah. Areas that we can get better. We can grow. We can, you know, change out habits that are not serving us, that are not serving the people. So would you also, in this whole area of inflated self-esteem, you know, I've often seen where people can be over just some of the characteristics that you've described, but really on the inside, they're insecure. And so their way of dealing with that is to put people around them down or to make them feel less than. Does that come in into play here with that same inflated self-esteem or no? Or is that different?
Yes, it does. No, it's very much a part because that's how they believe that they build themselves up is by putting other people down. And yes, there is an internal insecurity that if I don't have this inflated self-esteem, people are going to look inside and see where that shell is broken. And so we have to keep that shell closed.
Is that where
they trust people too?
They have a tendency to not trust people. Is that what you said?
Correct. Because they don't want people to get close to them to find out who they really are. That's part of their insecurity.
Okay. So would that be on the scale of narcissism as well?
Someone who has inflated self-esteem could be a narcissist. That is one symptom of that diagnosis. But just because you have that one symptom does not mean that you are a full-blown able to have that diagnosis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, we could go down that trail, I'm sure, and talk a bit about that. Because there seems to be the big buzzword these last few years, right? In terms of that. And there's some talk about...
Yes.
Now, from a psychological point of view, I'd be interested to know, because I've had these conversations with people who have either been in relationship with a narcissist or have decided someone, you know, in their life is of this profile. And from a faith-based point of view, there's some discussion about, okay, can a person change as a narcissist, is there hope for them? Like, what are some of the, there's some people who just completely write them off, but I know in Christ, never, no one's ever written off in that regard. So
exactly.
What do you have to say about that?
And that's what I was about to say is that, you know, I believe in a God of miracles. Mm-hmm. And if he, if someone is open enough to him that says, hey, here I am, and I surrender to you. Oh, absolutely. God can do miraculous things with that person. The struggle is that most people who have the diagnosis of narcissism are not open to that kind of surrender. It's too scary, which is heartbreaking because we all need Christ. Yeah, it's a tough one. It is hard to crack that shell because it's a pretty hard shell. But absolutely, if someone goes to God and says, here I am and I surrender to you, I believe with all my heart that he can do miraculous things with that.
Yeah. So it's a well-developed, and I would think that even so, talking about the inflated self-esteem is, it's a well-developed way of living. And so, you know, by the grace of God, you can break through, but in terms of that's a hard thing because they've pretty much been all of their life protecting that place. And so now to be vulnerable is that, you know, goes against everything they've ever fought for. So, but yeah, that's really good to know. And to, I like the way I've never heard it that way before, those three self-esteem. So that's a really great framework, I guess, to look at in terms of just looking at that. So let's talk a bit about the God way. You touched a bit about that. You touched about the high self-esteem, the low self-esteem, and then the inflated self-esteem. What is a difference maker when we do it God's way?
Well, I think when we do it God's way, there is a total surrender to him on our part. And we know what are the things that are our gifts and how what we do well. And we also know those areas that we can improve on. We can express our opinions. We can also be very open to other people's opinions. We know the qualities. We try to improve the defects. We recognize when we make a mistake and we take responsibility for it. And we recognize that we are all sinners. We consider other people. It's not all about us. We collaborate with other people. We don't have to have things our way. We also value other people as well as ourselves in everyday situations. I think we're nicer to be around. You know, I think with somebody who has a healthy self-esteem, we're drawn to that person. Their ideas are met with interest because others want to hear what they have to say, because they're honest, they're respectful, they're direct, and they're positive. And I think they are kind of, it draws positive opportunities. And those are the people that we like to be around.
That's so beautiful. I love that description. That's a great, great thing to reflect on in our own lives as well, right? Are we that kind of a person? And you talked about in the beginning how for yourself you were recognizing that you would speak negatively or down to yourself. Tell me a little bit about that. How that shifts when you begin to operate God's way in terms of how you speak to yourself, how you view yourself.
Sure. I was raised in a Christian home, and so I had every opportunity to know Christ and to know about him and to know the things I needed to do. I was also the youngest of four, and I heard people in the community say things like, you know, your oldest brother's smart in math. Why are you not so great at math? Which I'm not. I mean, that's one of the areas I have to improve on. Your sister is so pretty. Why don't you look like your sister? Your other brother is so funny. Why aren't you that funny? You know, and there was always this comparison by mm-hmm. other people, not necessarily in my family, but in the community. And people that I was around, even a teacher asked me one time why I wasn't as good at math as my oldest brother. Well, I'm not him, but I didn't know to say that. Yes. I just was like, huh, there's something wrong with me because math isn't my best quality. Mm-hmm. What I wasn't getting was, you know, I'm good at other stuff. I was just hearing that this is one area that's not your strong point. You're not, you know, you don't measure up. And so in my mind, I'm telling myself, oh my goodness, I don't measure up. I'm not enough. Right. And that was me, what I was telling me. Mm-hmm. And my self-esteem went further and further down. And then when I realized I needed to be getting in God's word myself, not depending upon what the preacher told me, not depending upon what the Sunday school teacher told me, but depending upon what God's word said to me personally. And when I finally, and I was an adult, when I finally got this concept, when I began to spend time with Christ and I began to hearing what he had to say about me, that's when it occurred to me, I really am negative about myself. And I focus on those things that I'm not good at. But I'm not focusing on the things that I am good at. I'm not focusing on the gifts that God has given me to use to glorify him. And once that mind shift changed for me, it became more and more important to me to spend time with him. And that is when I started realizing that's where my self-worth is. It's in him. It's not in what the world has to say or their view of me. My time on earth is this little bitty blip. My time in eternity goes on and on and on. Why am I focused on the negative stuff here instead of focusing on what do I need to do to glorify him? Because my hope and my joy and my future is with him, not here on this earth. And then there became this urgency to share. People need to understand that we have so many blessings that God wants to give us that we're overlooking, that we're just passing up because we're so focused on world, what is here, and we're not focused on him. And once my mind shifted to focus on him, the whole thing of how I began to see me in a realistic way, that yes, I have good qualities, yes, I have bad qualities, but my worth is in Christ.
It doesn't change your worth.
Correct.
So good. So is that what now drew you into speaking? Is just that desire to share that with others?
I think that it strengthened. I think it's always been there. And there have been times when I have done public speaking. But I think that this particular speech, which I call my signature speech, there's a draw for me because there is in my heart such an urgency that people know Christ.
And there, you were,
there is, go ahead.
Sorry, no, if you were, maybe you can paint the picture for our listeners, the difference it made for you, you can just say it in a few sentences, and maybe this is part of your signature message, the difference when you were able to make that shift in terms of seeing your worth in view of God, as opposed to all the other things that you were comparing yourself to the world. What difference did that make in your life?
I think it made a lot of difference. I watched it even make a difference in my children, and how they started viewing themselves. Mm. Because they were seeing in me a change. There was not negative comments about, you know, oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so stupid. Blah, blah, blah. You know, when I stopped doing things like that, I noticed a shift in my kids, in my parenting, and how I spoke with them, because it came important to me that they see their worth in Christ. Mm. I think it made a change in my relationships with my friends. I do think I lost a couple of friends, and I, they were probably maybe not lost, but they were cut, cut out of my circle, because what I realized is their negativity was impacting my relationship with Christ, that, mm-hmm. that was a toxic relationship that needed to leave. Mm-hmm. So there were changes in friendships, and there was a definite change in my relationship with Christ, because I wanted to spend more time with Him. I wanted mm-hmm. to get to know Him more. I think it also changed the area of my work and my joy in my work and what I was mm-hmm. doing. I wasn't as focused on, okay, I'm just really tired. I can't wait for the study to get over. But, you know, that moved away from me. And it was like, oh, my goodness, look at what happened here. And there's a joy with this. And now I'm at a place in my life where I know without a doubt that I am in the role that I need to be. I'm doing what I need to be doing. And there's such a joy and a freedom that comes with that. And it was not something I experienced in my younger days.
Mm, well said. Yes. Well said. You know, I'm thinking of how whenever there's a change in us, depending on the dynamics around us, you know, if it does affect the people around us, and if there's any dysfunction that has been going on, you know, enabled by, and we've been a part of that, it creates this disruption. And sometimes some people can't handle that, because it brings them face to face with their dysfunction, right? And it's like, whoa, yes. we can't rely on you anymore to enable our dysfunction. So
exactly.
So, you know, that can happen on a small scale or bigger scale. And I'm sure I think it's important for people to know that when change happens, sometimes we do lose friendships or things like that. And sometimes it's for the good, because of where we're growing and we're moving forward. So if you, when you started speaking, what is a speaking skill that you developed along the way that has made, you know, the biggest maybe difference for you as a speaker?
I think the two things that really stand out, because I've learned a lot through the years. I think first is that I have to kind of focus and narrow in a one person that I'm talking to. Now, I know there'll be a whole audience full of people that God will use the speech to touch. But I focus on one person. It's like I'm having a conversation with just one-on-one, just like you and I are having a conversation. Yeah. That is how I do my speeches now. Mm. I don't try to please everybody in the audience. I try to please God. And then the other thing that I've learned is that if I speak from my heart and not from my piece of paper, people hear it and are more open to receiving it. Mm. There's kind of a different demeanor in the audience when I speak from my heart.
Mm-hmm. So when you say speak from your heart, and I know that means different things to different people, but I would just like you to clarify that in terms of that, because as a speaking coach, I work with people all the time in terms of speaking. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it could mean I just wing it. I just speak from the heart. I just get up and So tell me what you mean. Wing it.
What I mean is I tell them the truth about who I am. I tell them the dilemma, that the crossroad that I came to, and what the solution was for me. And when I give them my story, it tends to relate to them instead of giving them statistics or research that I've done or, you know, things like that. If I just tell them me, and this is what God did with me, they receive that so much easier.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Yeah. So it's really having that connection with your heart in terms of being able to speak from your heart to their heart in a way with the emotion, with that vulnerability, so that they see that you're just like them. And, you know, if God can do this in your life, he can do it for them.
And I think transparency is really key when speaking from your heart, is that this is the honesty. This is the truth.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, Dr. Kayla, this has been, Gayla, this has been really a great conversation. Is there anything else before we close up here today that you'd like to leave with our audience? And also, where can they find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. There are several ways. I'm on Facebook. And then my husband and I have GNG Ministries, and our website is gandgministries.org. And then our email is gandgministries3@gmail.com. And absolutely reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you.
That's so good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your message, their audience, and your passion for helping people to come into the God kind of worth and value. Well, the truth of who they are and their value and their worth, really what it is, the healthy self-esteem, a healthy view of themselves. So if you're listening today and you are in that place where you know that maybe you've had a low self-esteem, you've been battling these thoughts or these negative things, I want to encourage you to go to the Word of God and ask God to show you who you are through his lens, and so that you can walk in the fullness of all that God has called you to be. And if you want to be able to share your message and step into your calling to be a voice of influence, I want to encourage you to join us in the Kingdom Speaker Academy that's starting here in April, a 9-week training for helping you to craft your message in 10 minutes, KIM 10 method, Kingdom Impact Message in 10 minutes. Now, if you're also wanting to get launched as a speaker, we have a wonderful opportunity for you to go through a certification and get launched on stage with your own professionally done video recording to promote yourself. You've heard of TED Talks? Well, God is using, is raising up during this time a whole new movement called the KIM 10 Stages for Kingdom Speakers that I have the privilege of being a part of as one of the trainers, one of the co-founders. And if you know that you're called to speak and you want to up-level your skills and get launched in this year in a bigger way so that your message can get in front of more people, then I want to encourage you to check out the description down below and join our Kingdom Speaker Academy for all the training that you need. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I look forward to seeing you around. Make sure you share this and subscribe. Share this message with people that you know need to hear about these three areas of self-esteem and to be able to become aware of where maybe they need to shift and reframe how they see themselves and be able to allow God to speak to them on a whole new level of their worth and their value. Thank you, everyone. We look forward to seeing you next time. Know that your voice is an instrument of transformation and needs to be heard. So let it be heard.